It is Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. We'd like to thank our next guest for taking time out of her very busy schedule to come on WGN Radio from the Illinois Department of Public Health. You can see her alongside Governor Pritzker every single day during the 2:30 press conference. It is Dr. Ngozi Nzike. Doctor, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me. Good morning.
We just got off the phone with the mayor of Naperville, who is chomping at the bit, ready to open up the city. But people are getting anxious. The weather is getting warmer. We need to remind people why it's so important to keep distance and stay inside right now.
Yes. I know the weather is changing, and I know that, you know, people are getting cabin fever. We have been so successful in coming under the horrible, like, scary predictions of what would have happened in this state if we didn't take all the aggressive measures of banning mass gatherings, closing restaurants, and finally the stay-at-home shelter-in-place order. It absolutely worked and helped to keep our numbers down. We didn't overwhelm our healthcare system. And so we did all the right things, and we should be proud of ourselves. The fact that there's no cure and there aren't approved treatments yet make us concerned that if we just opened everything up, we would just walk right out into the virus that we have been protecting our communities from. And so it's as hard as it is to tell people to stay at home, we don't have the things in place to be able to protect people. And I understand that people are in different situations. Some people are at home and still collecting a paycheck. And for those who aren't, of course, this is a completely different situation. And so I feel so much for the people who are bearing the brunt of this the most, because we've asked people to choose between their lives and their livelihood, and that's not even a choice that anybody should have to make.
I asked you a question during the press conference yesterday, and you paused for a second before you answered. I asked you if you were worried about a second wave of the virus this fall, and you thought about it for a second, and you said yes. Tell me more about that.
Yes, we know that there's going to be places around our country that will be relaxing the restrictions and the mitigation methods in different ways. And we know that we are connected to all of our neighbors. You know, everything that everyone does matters. We know that the fall is always our known expected time for flu. And so if this coronavirus makes a resurgence on top of the flu, and we have less people physically distancing, and we have more people gathering, we could just have another spike of exponential growth and increases that are maybe even worse than what we've seen. So there's a lot of reason for pause. The CDC is predicting that there'll be potentially a bigger surge than what we have seen. And again, we're trying to avoid having a situation where so many people get sick at the same time that
right.
they don't even have a hospital bed.
Dr. Steve in the newsroom, can you expand on that? Because I know what the CDC director said yesterday, but it seems to me he was referring it would be worse because it would come in combination with another outbreak, right? Not just that this COVID-19 would be worse than it is in the spring.
Right. So if you put the two of them together, you're still going to be competing for the same numbers of hospital beds. So we don't have an additional set of hospital beds and vents for people who, you know, who might get sick with the influenza as we do for coronavirus. It's the same medical capacity. And so if you add those numbers together, it'll be much easier for us to overwhelm our healthcare capacity. So we really don't want to get into that situation, whether it's coronavirus, whether it's influenza. We need to do all that we can to limit the number of people who get infected for both. And so obviously it'll be very important that people take advantage of the flu shot as well so that we can try to control those numbers. That's the one we actually do have a vaccine for.
Are we going to have to get a shot for COVID-19 for the rest of our lives, like the flu shot, moving forward once there is a vaccine?
I know if there was one, I would definitely take it. I know the uptake of the flu shot every year is low. I don't know if that behavior will change in light of what we're experiencing now, but definitely we are looking forward to having a vaccine. We'll have to see. I guess we don't know if COVID is going to be something that makes an annual return. That's not clear. And so if it's something that makes an annual return and needs a new vaccine, or versus it's going to be a vaccine and once you get it, you have some kind of prolonged immunity. Again, we don't have the answers to those questions.
It's a day-by-day thing. We're talking with Dr. Ngozi Nzeke from the Illinois Department of Health. When we move into more antibody testing to see who has had COVID-19, will there be a need to wear some kind of bracelet or carry a card moving forward?
Wow. That's a great question. I think those are questions that will need to be mapped out. I mean, it is important for us to know the idea for the antibody testing, assuming we had a reliable test that we could get good answers from. We want to know what percentage of the population has really already experienced this. And then we're making the assumption that if you have experienced this and developed these antibodies, that you're protected and that you wouldn't get it again. Assuming all those things are true, if we saw a growing number of people who had antibodies that we assume are protected, that would mean that an individual who had not had it, who did not have antibodies, would have less of a chance of running into an individual with it, because all these other people are protected. So it's really like a herd immunity that we're trying to get to, where most of the people are protected and won't be transmitting it. So the few people maybe who haven't gotten it will have less of a chance of getting it. So it's the same thing that we were talking about around measles and having enough protection from the community. But we can't know where we are if there isn't an antibody test. And we'd have to know what level of antibody is actually protective, how long does it last. So a lot, again, we have more questions than we have answers.
Doctor, you bring up the herd immunity. And I suspect you've been following what happened in Sweden, where they were a bit more relaxed in their restrictions. They seem to have reached their peak earlier and lower. Why would something like that not have worked in the United States?
So maybe I'm not sure what you're referencing, but
Sweden didn't lock down as much like the United States did. They allowed people for social distancing. They protected the older people, but they kind of went along as life is normal or fairly normal.
Yeah. Well, I do know that Sweden has a much healthier population than the United States. We definitely know that. They rank higher in many of the health indicators, despite us spending more money. So, again, some things are not, able to be extrapolated because of how different our communities are. But we definitely know that if we had not put our severe restrictions in place, the predictions for where the peak would have been would have overcome our healthcare capacity, and we would have had a situation where we were trying to decide like who gets help in this one bed when we have three people waiting for it. And so that's why we had to take aggressive action to make sure that eventuality did not come to play.
Dr. Ngozi Nzeke on with us for a few more minutes on 720 WGN. Florida is opening beaches and restaurants. Indiana, Wisconsin have golf courses open. Does this bother you when you're trying to keep people to stay at home, when you see people going over the border to play golf?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the base of it, I need people to understand why we have these things closed. people love golf. People love outdoor activities. None of us hate those activities. We want people to be able to perform activities that don't put them at risk. And so when you have, throngs of people at the beach together, where they're not in a position to physically distance, when you're going to be in, I don't know if they'll be at the 19th hole or if people are, congregated in such a way such that if somebody was ill, they would be transmitting it to multiple people quickly at the same time. Mm-hmm. That just puts us back in the situation where we have high rate of rise of increase of new cases. And in our state, we've seen that, a lot of people get well, but we have, more than 25, maybe 30% of people who end up, in the hospital of the people who were confirmed cases. And we know that almost 5% end up in the ICU. And so we're working on trying to decrease that severe morbidity and mortality. And the way to do that is to decrease the number of infections on the front end.
Doctor, it's got to take a toll on you talking about death day after day. That's the first thing you talk about, the cases and death. How are you coping with everything?
No, I appreciate the question. I am not in the hardest position. My heart is going out to people who, in our attempt to save their lives, they've lost their livelihood. I have a job. I'm being sustained by my supportive community, my community of faith, my neighborhood, my family. I am not the one who's bearing the brunt of this. I know the people who have literally not worked and not earned a dime in now well over a month. Those are the people that are really suffering, and my thoughts are with them, even as we do all these mental gymnastics to try to figure out how do we, toe the line between, preserving people's ability to have their livelihood right. and keep their health. It's almost an impossible choices that we're having to make, and I'm really sensitive to how this is being borne by so many people.
The mayor yesterday said we're looking at June 1st. The governor didn't give a date, but he said we're going to have to push it back. In your opinion, you see these numbers every single day, doctor. What do you think? Are we looking at June 1st here in the Chicago area where we're going to start slowly opening things up?
Yeah, so I will definitely leave official pronouncements and proclamations to the governor. He's done a great job of leading. we're working closely all day, every day to try to make the best choices. And I'm really proud of him. He's, tried to master the science and all even the intricacies of the lab and the RNA extraction for our PCR testing. Like, he's really shown tremendous leadership, and these difficult decisions that he's had to make, he's never made any of them lightly. All of them are sought out, knowing that sometimes the decision is, do we cut off the feet or do we cut off the hands? They're just right. Very difficult decisions that have no easy answers.
Steve, any last words?
I was just going to say it was a nice try, Pete, to get her to give us a date. But
I tried. And by the way, just to let everybody know, the doctor is an avid tennis player. She wants to get out there, too.
I absolutely do. Absolutely do.
I appreciate your time. I know you have a 2:30 press conference today, and hopefully we'll talk again soon in the next few weeks. Thank you, doctor.
Thank you so much. Keep yourself safe.
Dr. Ngozi Nzike from the Illinois Department of Health. All right, time for news.